Good evening. I'm an invisible man standing right behind you. And I've got a terrifying tale that I've just got to tell. And I've chosen you to hear it. There's no use trying to escape. I'm invisible. I can follow you anywhere, even the bathroom. The horrors began to begin under the hot Busheltown sun on a late October day, just outside the KBSH radio station, which is more commonly known as Rye 99. A reporter named Dottie Sue Mayberry stood waiting by the curb. Her producer, Verlene Ballwood, pointed to their left and said,
"Is that our Uber? Oh, I didn't get an Uber. They don't meet up with my personal emissions standards. So, I use the new app that provides a green Uber service. It's called Goober."
"Oh, is that our Goober?"
"It must be. The message said the driver would arrive in an orange hybrid. Oh, listen to how quiet the car is. You know I always say, noise pollution is the forgotten pollution."
"I remember. It was printed in your Christmas cards last year."
"Well, I always think it's nice for things to be a little quieter around the holidays."
"Hey, y'all send for a Goober?"
"Yeah, we're going up to the North Busheltown Woods."
"Well, yep, that's me. My name's Stevie. Well, nice to meet you. You can load up your stuff in the trunk there."
"Oh, look at this, Verlene. The license plate says pumpkin. Isn't that adorable? Had an orange car."
"Oh, cool. I love customized license plates. I had a car. It stopped working, though. The transmission fell out while I was in the food more one day. Anyway, I had a license plate that said rock on because I really like rock and roll music."
"Well, ain't that something? All right, y'all hop on in and we'll be on our way."
Stevie, I have a quick question."
"Well, shoot."
"Is it okay if I keep my guinea pigs in my lap? They're in this little carrier and I'm kind of like their mother, so they need to be close to me."
"Verlene, did you have to bring those things?"
"Yes! I left my last newborn litter with my brother, and he let his cat eat them. I can't let that happen to these sweet guinea piglets."
"All right, all right."
"Well, it's okay with me, ma'am, but make sure they do their business in that little box you got, or else there's an extra Goober fee."
Then the orange car began its journey toward the North Busheltown Woods. The sun continued to shine, but not on Verlene or Dottie Sue. Dark clouds rolled in and soon the sky opened up. The unlucky three, as they would later be called in the newspapers, traveled on, blissfully unaware of the horrors waiting for them.
"So, y'all want to talk about them upcoming midterm elections? I don't recollect ever voting in the midterms before, but I reckon I might this time."
"Sorry, Stevie. My doctor says I can't talk about politics. It upsets my ulcer too much."
"Oh, okay then. Well, if you ladies don't mind me asking, what's taking you to the North Busheltown Woods? I always heard it was a kind of dangerous place."
"Not anymore. My friend Rowdy Robbie, who does the Rye 99 crime report, says that the murder rate in the North Busheltown Woods has gone down 100% in the last year. That means murder was at 100, but it's gone down to 0.
"Wow! You know, I'm always after my husband to take me on a relaxing springtime vacation, and this year I suggested the North Busheltown Woods, but he said there was too many murders."
"Will you take him there next spring? When you drop us off, you'll see all the cabins have been refurbished in the last year. It's a whole new place. You ever been there before, Verlene?" "Verlene? Girl, are you lost in thought?"
"Yeah, I'm sorry. I was hoping to get this really important news before we left the station, but it never came. And no, I've never been there before, but we'll have all weekend to get to know it, though. We're covering the big Fall Foliage Festival."
"And I get to help pick the Leaf Queen."
As the travelers reached their destination, the thunderstorm raged out of control. Bolts of lightning tore through the sky, and the rain came down in heavy, pounding drops. Finally, in the middle of the darkness, a light shone. It was the lone bulb of a porch light on a recently refurbished cabin. The orange car parked nearby, and the passengers inside were flooded with relief.
Oh, thank God, our cabin. I didn't know if we were gonna make it.
Stevie, you have to come in with us and wait for this rain to let up.
Well, thank you, ma'am. You sure don't have to ask me twice. This is the worst storm I've seen in my life.
Okay, I've got the cabin key they sent to the station.
Let's make a run for it.
Shit! That lightning was close!
Would you look at this? My heels are sinking in the mud.
Donnie Sue, look out behind you. There's a crazy man running towards us. He just came out of the woods.
Oh my God!
What the hell? Oh, he sure does have a wild look in his eyes. And what's that in his hand? Oh no, oh, it's a knife. He's got a knife.
Donnie Sue, Miss Mayberry.
Oh God, how does he know my name?
Stand back, you maniac.
Shucks, I ain't no maniac. I'm the assistant manager at the all-new NBW campground. And I'm a big fan of you, Miss Dottie Sue Mayberry. I hear you on the radio all the time. You might say I'm your number one fan.
If you're a fan, why are you waving around a knife at Dottie Sue?
This ain't a knife, it's my metal plate autograph book. I was hoping to get a signature from my favorite radio reporter.
Oh, that's very nice, but now isn't really a great time.
He was just struck by lightning.
Holy shit, he's smoking. Is he dead? Is he dead?
Oh, my number one fan.
I think he's breathing.
Let's get him in the cabin. We have to call the paramedics.
The unlucky three struggled to carry the assistant manager of the campground into the cabin. After some heavy lifting and not a little huffing and puffing, the lightning strike victim was in bed, and Stevie the driver said,
I'm sorry I wasn't much help carrying that feller in. I don't have a lot of upper body strength. I've been meaning to work out for the past few years, but I haven't gotten up the nerve yet. But shoot, Verlaine, you hauled his ass like a champ.
Probably because I do about 98 push-ups a day, and I get a surprising amount of exercise coming from my guinea pigs. Speaking of which, are you upset, my little guinea piglets? Aw, it's okay. We're safe inside now.
I do hope this man will be all right. He's still awfully smoky.
I tried to call 911, but I don't have any bars on my phone this far out into the woods.
Now, if y'all will hear me out on something for a second, I might could tell you if he'll be okay or not. You see, I'm a goober driver, but also a psychic.
Really?
Well, we might as well give you a shot.
I'll take a hold of his sleeve here. Ooh, ouch! Oh, ow! It's still smoldering. Oh, okay. I'm seeing into his past here a bit. For breakfast, he had chocolate frosted flakes with marshmallows. And last week, he backed into a mailbox with his truck, but he didn't tell anybody. And in 2006, he got a full back tattoo of the Geico caveman.
This is very fascinating, honey, but we want to know his future, not his past.
All right. I can't see very far into his future for some reason, but I can see that his cells are currently healing themselves, and tomorrow night he's going to be in a drive-thru, and they're going to give him fries instead of the onion rings he's going to ask for.
It sounds like he'll survive. We should probably leave him alone and let him. Oh, why would you look at that? His hair's turned white.
Whoa!
Well, I'll be a monkey's gay uncle. Oh, that reminds me. My husband Mark has got to be worried sick. I better hightail it back to downtown Busheltown.
All right, Stevie, let us see you out.
You know, these cabins are nice.
And I really like this artwork on the walls.
Same here. I just love pictures of nondescript pottery.
All this leather and suede furniture? And those antlers on the wall, it feels so woodsy.
Wow, that rain is still coming down harder than a preacher's wife on her bisexual daughter. Oops, I almost forgot y'all's luggage. Wouldn't that have been something? That tree just fell over and smashed my pumpkin. Oh, well, darn. How am I going to drive out of here now?
I think you'll just have to stay with us. You can get a message to your husband in the morning at the ranger station or the visitor center.
I guess you're right.
Stevie, I'm sorry about your car. And Donnie Sue, if you two will excuse me, I've got to go tuck in my sweet little guinea piglets for the night. I can tell they're all tuckered out.
All right, Verlaine. Good night.
Good night. Miss Mayberry, I can sleep right here on this leather sofa. Ooh, wee is it soft. And to think, this material right here was once a cow's ass.
It does make you think, doesn't it? Oh, I hope this rain doesn't affect the Fall Foliage Festival. Verlaine and I are supposed to interview foliage fanatics.
Oh, whoa, whoa, hey, this is weird. I'm getting a feeling from this couch.
What is it? Can you tell what one of the upholsterers had for lunch or something?
No, this hadn't ever happened before. I'm getting a feeling about the cow. I can see her standing in the field and a bee buzzing by her ear. Oh, and in life, she was a dairy cow. Oh, she needs milking bad. Her teats are busting. And there's a bunch of flies around her butt. She's flapping her tail, but they keep coming, and she keeps flapping, and they get off but land again, and it's just driving her nuts. Wow, I think it's something about being in these woods. It's enhancing my psychic abilities.
You know, I do find that interesting. I once took a correspondence course on the science of the supernatural through the mail, and there was a whole chapter on locations that, for one reason or another, are hotbeds for paranormal activity. And I remember it saying that psychics sometimes went crazy because of all the information they kept picking up.
Well, I hope I don't go any crazier. My husband Mark would say I'm pretty close to crazy already. But then, who puts mayonnaise on their peanut butter and jelly? Me or him?
Oh, yuck, I hope it's him.
Hey, Stevie, I found something in the closet I think you might like. Didn't you say you love dogs?
No, I mean, I like dogs, but I never had one.
Verlaine, did you find a dog in the closet?
No, this was jammed way in the back. It's an issue of Dog Fancy from 2009. I was singing a lullaby to the guinea piglets, and I saw the corner poking out from between some boards. I brought it out here because I thought Stevie said he loved dogs.
I don't, but hey, on the back there's one of them Absolute Vodka ads, and my husband Mark, oh, he collects them. Could I see it? I'll be able to tell if he's already got this one.
Sure, but if you don't want it, I'll take it back and rip it to shreds for my guinea piglets to play in. Oh, here you go.
Oh, whoa, whoa! I am picking up a really strong feeling from this magazine. Something about the person who left it here. Whoa, whoa!
Oh, my Lord.
What's happening?
I think he's having a psychic vision.
Yes, Stevie was so overwhelmed with psychic vibrations from the copy of Dog Fancy that he slipped into a very light psychic coma. His spiritual being was astrally projected to the location of the person who left the magazine in the cabin almost 10 years ago. What Stevie did not yet know was that the dog fancier who had once, on the toilet, thumbed through the pages of the particular dog fancy now existed in a very strange and distant place indeed. The image of two fat men behind a counter appeared. The gay Goober driver watched silently as the dog fancier who was asked a question by the obese man next to him.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Well, if you look out the zone window, you'll see it's twilight. So probably about 87 orbits until next lunch break.
Damn it, I'm so hungry and so tired. These 40,000 orbit workdays kill me. I get so exhausted. I don't know how all these other people do it. Ugh. You know, last week, I wanted to take a nap in the bathroom, so I told the supervisor I had irritable bowel syndrome.
That's great. How did you think of that?
I don't know, it just came to me. I slept for 1,000 orbits. I made a pillow out of the ass napkins they keep by the commode.
Uh-oh, we have a customer. Hello there, I hope you found everything okay today.
Not really. I was looking for some pudding for my dog, but you were all out.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'll let our supervisor know we're out of dog puddings.
For your bags, would you like paper or plastic or leather or barbed wire?
Plastic. Wait a minute. 15 years ago, I almost drowned in a lake. Weren't you the lifeguard that saved my life?
Well, that does sound like me, but I don't really know. See, for some reason, I have no memory of my life up until about 12 moon periods ago. just about the time I started working here in the grocery zone.
I don't have any memories of life before then either, strangely enough. We actually met in the amnesia ward of the healing center.
Wait a minute. I have a coupon for those baby tacos.
Alrighty. That brings your total down to 41 Zorgons and 66 Florbs.
Keep the change, my good man.
Thank you.
Hey, half those Florbs are mine.
I know.
Alright, you two. What have I told you? When you don't have a customer, you should be straightening up your aisle. Look at these packages of pepperoni-flavored bubblegum. They're all askew.
Sorry, Supervisor. I'll fix it right away.
And as for you, Kendall, you go refill the ass napkins in all the restrooms.
Yes, sir.
I swear I have to stop hiring these amnesia cases. That Cliff and Kendall, they don't know their yabos from their wing-wangs. They can't remember anything but how to loaf on the job. Ugh, I swear nobody has it harder than a grocery zone supervisor. Nobody.
It was at this moment Stevie's spiritual being began its return trip into the psychic's body. In practically no time, he opened his eyes to see Verlaine and Dottie Sue standing over him.
He's awake. Oh, Lord, he's waking up.
What happened? That dog fancy magazine made you pass out.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I saw into another dimension.
Wow. What kind of incredible things did you see?
Well, I was in a grocery store, and there was this guy who owned the magazine, and his name was Kendall, I think, and he was working with this fat old bag boy named Cliff.
Kendall and Cliff? Dottie Sue, do those names mean anything to you?
No. I recall doing a double homicide story 7 or 8 years ago. The victims' names were Clint and Kenneth. It actually happened not too far from here.
Huh. I feel like I've heard the names Cliff and Kendall recently. Oh! It was here on the Rod 99 weekly program schedule. 4 a.m. Sunday mornings, Cliff and Kendall, coast to coast.
Well, who's ever heard of that?
Probably nobody. It's just a filler program, but that's a really bizarre coincidence. Stevie sees a Cliff and Kendall in a grocery store in another dimension, and there's a Cliff and Kendall with the show on our same radio station. What are the odds?
I'm sorry, I'm just not seeing the connection.
If we could check somehow to see if it's the same Cliff and Kendall.
Oh my Lord, the assistant manager, I forgot all about him.
Sir, are you okay?
What happened?
You were struck by lightning.
Oh, I hate when that happens. Oh, and by the way, my name's Emmanuel, but you can call me Manny or just Man for short.
Okay, man, you rest up and you'll be good as new in the morning. I imagine you will be. We've got a full house tonight. What with me and Verlaine and Stevie, our psychic goober driver.
Hey, did you say Verlaine?
That's me.
Well, if you're Verlaine Ballwood, I've got an envelope for you. Came this afternoon.
Oh, whoa, this is the important news I was waiting for.
Would you like some time alone with your envelope?
No, I don't think I'm emotionally ready to open it tonight.
Hey, man, is there anybody back at the visitor center that could help me get a message to my husband?
Nope, I'm the only one on duty tonight, but you can send a message from here. When the cabins get redone, they were all turned into smart cabins. You just gotta call it by the cabin number and tell it what to do, like this. Cabin 3, play man's favorite song. All the cabins know me since I was the one that redesigned them. Yep, I was in charge of every single inch of every single cabin being made 100% all new.
I found a really old dog magazine in the back of my closet.
Oh, well, I didn't redo nothing about the closets. What's to redo? Closets are just a rod and some hangers. Big whoop.
And so, the unlikely foursome, which included the unlucky three, prepared to turn in for the night. Stevie used the cabin to call his husband. Verlaine checked on her guinea piglets. Dottie Sue wiped the mud from her rust-colored pumps, and Man went to sleep, entering into a long, lightning-filled nightmare. Outside, the storm continued throughout the night. By 5 a.m., the thunder and lightning had moved on, but not the rain. An hour later, Verlaine sat in the cabin kitchen. The first hints of light were starting to glow in the sky, and the rain, which had been coming down in buckets, now dribbled from the sky in mere teaspoons.
Good morning, Verlaine.
Morning, Stevie.
How'd you sleep last night?
Bad. My guinea piglets were restless. The thunder kept waking them up.
Well, them and me both. That and...
What?
Well, that vision I had about Kendall and Cliff. I keep thinking about it, and the more I do, the more I feel like it's the same Kendall and Cliff from your radio station.
But how could it be? They're in another dimension, but on the radio here at the same time.
I just wish I could check and find out if it's them or not.
Hey, I bet we could. All of Dottie Sue's news reports are downloadable online after they air on the radio. I bet the Cliff and Kendall show is too. We can look it up with the smart cabin.
That's a great idea.
Cabin 3, play Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
If you like fat guys belching in your face, you're in luck. It's time for Cliff and Kendall
Coast. It worked!
Fast forward. Fast forward. Okay. Listen and see if it's new.
You must remember us. We're as big and fat as a bus.
Ooh.
Oh.
We're that big.
Kendall,
it's
you,
true.
You act like it isn't news.
No, I just feel like it's better.
Well, that has got to be then. I'd remember those voices anywhere.
Oh,
Cabin 3, so stop, Cliff and Kendall.
That's too weird. How can they be in another dimension and doing their show at the same time?
I don't know, but it's kind of starting to freak me out.
I'll tell you what's starting to freak me out. Oh, good morning, and sorry to interrupt, but I'm freaking out too. I just spoke with Man, and he heard over the walkie-talkie that half the roads in the area are closed due to flooding. The whole Foliage Festival is closed today, and maybe tomorrow too. How do you like that?
I don't like it at all. But maybe if we're stuck here, it'll give us time to solve this Cliff and Kendall mystery.
Well, I'm too PO'd about this cancellation situation. Looks like the rain is finally letting up, so I'm going to put on my galoshes and go for a power walk to de-stress. But y'all tell me if you find out anything. Maybe something newsworthy will happen up here yet.
After Dottie Sue left the cabin, Verlaine and Stevie devised a plan to investigate the psychic's paradoxical vision of the host known as Cliff and Kendall. Using the smart cabin, they called the Rye 99 switchboard and obtained the phone number of Mr. Snodbottom, the producer of Cliff and Kendall, Coast to Coast.
Do you think you can pick up any kind of psychic vibrations from them over the phone?
I'm not usually able to, but I feel like in the North Busheltown woods, anything's possible.
Cabin 3, dial 204-555-1608. I hope our cover story works. I don't usually like to lie, but I think when you're solving a mystery, it's okay because you're kind of like the police.
Hello, this is Mr. Snodbottom's phone. I'm his wife, Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn. How may I help you?
Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn? I don't know if you'll remember me, but we met a few years ago at a Rye 99 Friends and Family Mixer. My name is Verlaine Ballwood.
Verlaine! Oh, yes, you were wearing a purple scarf, and we had a nice chat beside the potato salad sculpture.
That's right. Anyway, I'm calling because...
Oh, Mr. Snodbottom said you would be calling. He had a minor bowel attack and left his phone behind, but he told me someone from the Rye 99 Standards and Practices Committee would be calling, and that must be you, dear. He told me to play you Cliff and Kendall's new Halloween song to see if it's acceptable for the air. I'll just hold the phone up to the speaker here.
No, I didn't call about that. I called for...
Charlie Brown was a ghost, and Roxy did get the most, but it wasn't all his fault.
And Bette Midler on her broom flew into the room, but was halted by a circle of salt.
Then things got real bad for Winona Ryder's mom and dad. They were haunted by a funny dead man. Then they called a truce with that old
Beetlejuice. And this is how the contract ran.
Science fiction. Double feature. Builds a creature. Lee Curtis stars as Laurie Strode. At the late night double feature picture show. I know Ernest P. Wood.
I'm sorry about this. It appears the CD is skipping.
Oh, it's okay. Hey, Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn, could we maybe pause the song so I could ask you about something else?
Certainly. Let me just find the button here. Oh, there we go. Ask away, dear.
I'm also doing an article for the bi-monthly KBSH newsletter. It's more of a countdown than an article. It's about interesting things that have happened to employees recently. I was calling to see if anything interesting has happened to you or Mr. Snodbottom or Cliff and Kendall.
Interesting. Well, I hate to toot my own flute, but, you know, we're all in Casablanca right now, and I'm currently touring the world telling all of our delightful friends around the globe about the glories and wonders of Busheltown rye. And it's remarkable how the people of Casablanca have really taken to my rye speech. Why, I've been held over for weeks now, and there's talk of a permanent residency in a theater downtown. I might be for Casablanca what Celine Dion was for Las Vegas.
All right, I'll jot that down. Anything else about Cliff or Kendall, maybe?
Let me think. Kendall was a mummy for Halloween. The boys recorded their little show outside King Tut's pyramid. We were all buried alive for a brief time. I accidentally launched a torpedo. Mr. Sodbottom and I, we foolishly double-booked ourselves for dinner one night, so I had to race back and forth between his lodge buddy from Busheltown and my friend the Dalai Lama. We also climbed Mount Everest. And of course, last year around this time, we all went to space.
That's right! Rye99 likes that promotional space station. And didn't you guys have to bail out for some reason?
Yes, there were some mechanical issues or something. So, Mr. Snodbottom, myself, and our contractor took an escape pod back to Earth.
What about Cliff and Kendall?
They took the second escape pod and met up with us several hours later. Funny, though, their pod was never found. Seems it sank to the bottom of Thumb Lake. Or at least that's what Cliff and Kendall said when they walked up to us out of nowhere.
That is interesting.
If you say so, dear. Now, let me try to play the rest of their little Halloween song.
Well, actually, I have a turkey in the oven, and I have to check on it. So I better let you go, but thank you for everything.
My, well, I understand. And here's a tip from me to you. Don't over-baste. No one ever likes a soggy bird. All right, toodaloo, dear.
Toodaloo.
Whoa, I picked up on a lot of things, but I think I gotta go process it alone for a while. Can we meet up later?
Sure.
Oh, and Verlaine, you're going to want some alone time to process some things, too. I think it's time you opened up that envelope and read the news you've been waiting for all your life. And might I suggest you read it down by the lake? I think the rain's going to hold off just long enough for you to have a real emotional experience. And those always go better if you're near a body of water. Well, shoot, it don't take a psychic to know that.
With this encouragement, Verlaine took her envelope and walked out behind their cabin. She took a muddy path that led her to the nearby shore of the North Busheltown Lake. The sky was cloudy, but at the moment Verlaine withdrew the envelope from her pocket, a ray of pure sunshine broke through and shone down on the lake. In that moment, the soggy wilderness around her was illuminated and her heart filled with excited joy. She took that as a good sign.
Parents, I can't believe I'm about to read the name of my real parents. Oh, I didn't think this was going to make me cry.
Verlaine, is that you? I'm almost finished with my power walk. Why, Verlaine, are you crying? Don't tell me a bird duped on your shoulder and ruined that pretty top.
No, I opened my envelope.
It's that news you've been waiting for. I don't want to be nosy, so you don't have to tell me if you don't want to, but if you need to get it off your chest, I'm here for you, girl.
Well, you know I grew up in the orphanage in the West Busheltown Swamplands. I was just left there the day I was born, and I never knew who my real parents were. And since I'm almost 50, I decided this year I had to find out. So I hired a private investigator a few months ago, and he sent me their names.
Oh, that's nothing to cry about. Who are they? What are their names?
My mother's name was Caroline Appleton, and my father's name was William Cogstone.
They both sound like fabulous people, but you said was?
Yeah, he didn't send me any information about them. Just their names and that they're both dead.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. Oh, I tell you what, I have some pumpkin spice wine coolers in my luggage, and if they didn't get crushed by that tree falling on the car last night, I say we open those suckers up. I think we could both use a drink. And I bet we can use the smart cabin to look up information on your parents. Everything's on Google these days.
Yeah. Thanks, Dottie Sue. Oh, whoa!
Where did that come from? What was it?
It just fell from the sky. Maybe it was a shooting star or a meteor.
I bet you're right. You know, I am a reporter and you're my producer. We could investigate it.
Yeah.
But not until after we find out everything there is to know about your parents. And after a nice big brunch. All this power walking has me famished.
Verleen and Dottie Sue walked back toward cabin 3, blissfully unaware that the thing which was not a shooting star or a meteor was something far, 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 far worse.
Now look over there. The people in cabin 2 carved a pumpkin, isn't that darling? And their kids are running around dressed like ghosts. Well, I'm glad somebody's having fun, even though the Foliage Festival was canceled today. All right, let's find out who these parents of yours were. If they're your parents, Verleen, I know they must be good people. Oh, and how about some frittatas?
Thanks. You're a good friend, Dottie Sue.
Hey, Verleen. Sorry to interrupt.
Hey, man.
I got some bad news. I was looking for some old magazines in the closet that might have been left behind, and I accidentally opened up your hamster cage, and to make a long story short, they got out.
Hamsters? I don't have hamsters. I have baby guinea piglets.
Oh, well, it must have been them that got out.
What? My guinea pigs? You let them out? How could you be so stupid? They're babies. Defenseless babies.
I know, and it was just eating me up inside so much that I had to barf. So I opened up the front door and barfed out in the yard, and danged if your hamster, I mean, guinea pigs, didn't run right outside and run into the woods.
Into the woods? They're in the woods? I could just kill you.
Verleen, where are you going?
To find my guinea pigs.
But what about our frittatas? Verleen? Oh, Verleen. She's a good person, but I'd swear sometimes she loves those guinea pigs more than, well, just about anything.
She seems sort of emotional. I was just on my way out.
Okay, then.
Alrighty, I'll be listening out for you on the radio, Miss Dottie Sue.
Thanks so much. Okie dokie. Bye-bye now. Let's see what it says here. Cabin 3, do an internet search for a Carolyn Appleton in Busheltown. Oh, look at that little screen that pops up. So high tech. Carolyn Appleton, born 1950, died 1971 in childbirth. That must have been Verleen. Poor thing. In life, Carolyn loved the monkeys and was a devoted fan. Oh, that's where Verleen gets her love of rock and roll. According to this paper I hold in my hands, Verleen's name isn't even Verleen Bullwood. Her real name is Wilhelmina Clogstone. Oh! Okay, Cabin 3, do an internet search for a William Clogstone in Busheltown. I can't believe what this says. William Clogstone died 1978, at which point he became part of modern Busheltown folklore. It is said William Clogstone was possessed by hell demons during a domestic dispute, turning him into the mass murdering monster known as Hillbilly Willie. He roams the North Busheltown woods at night, killing the people in his way as he continues an eternal search for his pigs. Legend has it, he is especially busy in late October. Oh, this is just unbelievable. I mean, I believe it, but it is unbelievable. Oh my God. Editor's note. Hillbilly Willie's sightings have gone down almost 100% since last October.
Hey, Naughty Sue.
Oh, Stevie, you scared me to death. I was so absorbed in reading these horrible things over here, I didn't hear you walk up.
Horrible? Oh, no, I have something horrible to tell you, too.
It's shaping up to be one of them days. Might as well spill it.
I was lying down and trying to process all these bizarre vibrations I picked up from that phone call Verlaine and I made to Cliff and Kendall's producer. And I had the window open and I heard a crash as something fell from the sky.
That must have been the meteor or shooting star. We weren't sure which. Verlaine and I saw it come down. Or should I say Wilhelmina and I saw it come down. She just found out that's her birth name and she might want to go by that from now on.
Dottie Sue, it wasn't anything like that. I could smell it way off in the distance and from that smell, I could psychically tell exactly what fell.
What was it?
It was a piece of debris broken off of a space station.
Space station?
The one Ry-99 launched last year.
Oh, I remember that. It was sponsored by the Blop Smush Food and More and the Beef Boy Fast Food Place. It had engine trouble and was never recovered. Strange it took a year for that to fall to Earth. But as long as everyone got out all right.
But that's it. I don't think they did. I think the real Cliff and Kendall are the ones working in a grocery store in another dimension.
But you talk to someone from their show today. Who is hosting that show if Cliff and Kendall are in a galaxy far, far away?
That's just it. I don't know who or what could be hosting. It would take some extremely convoluted magic and science for all this to happen.
That's like the course I took, the science of the supernatural. I took it because I was hoping to host a show called Paranormal Chat, but I lost out to another guy. He had his own jacket with question marks all over it, and that's what they were really looking for.
Okay, well, back to the space station. It wasn't just a piece of metal garbage that fell into the woods. There was something evil inside, and I'm afraid it's going to get out if we don't stop it.
Oh no, and Verlaine Wilhelmina is out there.
We got to go out there. We have to find her.
I have to answer it. It could be about the Foliage Festival. Cabin 3, answer the phone. Hello, this is Dottie Sue Mayberry.
Good afternoon. This is Mrs. Snodbottom, producer of Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. My wife tells me you weren't able to hear the end of Cliff and Kendall's little song. So I'd like to play it for you now.
Mrs. Snodbottom, we don't really have time.
The world took quite a twirl when trolls took over his town.
And it was a big hit when Tim Curry was hit.
It shows the world loves crazy killer clowns. Sarah Jessica Parker ran amok. Binks got hit by a truck, but he came back to life that night. And when Garfield and Odie met those pirate ghosties, it gave us a terrible fright.
Like a
science fiction double feature. Ernest Love will kill a creature. Frankenstein had a bride and didn't trust her. Dan Aykroyd co-wrote the first Ghostbusters. Whoa-oh-oh-oh-oh. At the late night double feature picture show, I wanna go.
Oh, and it goes on like that. I do hope you think it's fit for the air.
Sure, it's fine.
Wonderful. Oh, 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 Jesus Christ, it's a Halloween miracle.
Hey, ask him to get Cliff and Kendall on the phone. If it's not the real them, I might be able to tell over the phone who or what they really are.
Hello, are you still there?
Yes, Mr. Snodbottom, do you think I could talk to Cliff and Kendall for just a second?
Oh, well, I don't know. I believe they're eating right now.
Pretty please. I'll be so quick their ice cream won't even melt.
Oh, my. How did you know they were eating ice cream?
Just a lucky guess. I mean, it's not like I have a psychic sitting right here whispering things to me.
Oh, no, of course not. Boys, you're wanted on the telephone.
Hello, this is Kendall.
Kendall, I'm Dottie Sue Mayberry from Rye 99.
Hi, is this about my limited edition vinyl Hocus Pocus soundtrack? It was delivered to KBSH by mistake. We're at Rick's Hideaway Hotel in Casablanca. Can you ship it here?
Yeah, if I find it, I'll do that. This is more of a check-in call to see how you're doing. How are you?
I'm fine.
That's great to hear. Now, could I talk to Cliff?
Okay. They want to talk to you.
Why?
Just to see how you are.
That's odd. Hello?
Cliff, it's Dottie Sue Mayberry here. How are you doing?
I'm tired. We did a lot of walking around today in a pumpkin patch, and then we had these caramel apple donuts, and a big piece of caramel got stuck in my teeth, and it's still there.
All right. Well, glad you're making it okay.
Thank you. Who are you again?
Dottie Sue Mayberry, a reporter for Rye 99.
Oh. Is this how you interview everybody?
No, honey. This one was special. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
My Lord. Stevie, you look white as a ghost. What is it?
That's not the real Cliff and Kendall. It's not them. Those two things that spoke to you on the phone, they aren't really people. They act like them. They sound like them. They must look just like them because their producer and his wife can't tell the difference, but it's not them. They aren't human. Just empty, soulless vessels.
But how? Why? I've never heard of anything like that before. Except, in my Science of the Supernatural course, there were ancient texts that told of things called flesh mounds. These were human-like beings created when a person's DNA combined with hell demon magic under extreme pressure. But there's no pressure like that on Earth. It would almost have to happen in a black hole out in space.
A black hole? That could explain why it took so long for that debris to fall all the way back here. The gravitational pull of a black hole slowed it way down.
That makes total sense. What about the hell demon magic? Where does that come in?
I don't know, but I think that could be the evil presence I felt attached to the piece of the space station.
Hell demons. Hell demons. Where did I just hear about them? Berlin Wilhelmina's father, Hillbilly Willie. He was possessed by hell demons.
Oh my God!
And I'm formulating a theory. What if Hillbilly Willie was on board the space station with Cliff and Kendall, and they were pulled in, or maybe they steered themselves into a black hole? That could explain how those flesh mounds were created.
And how the real Cliff and Kendall wound up checking groceries in another dimension.
Hell demon magic can do crazy things. Is this story outrageous or what? I have to run it by Verlaine and... Verlaine! Oh God, we have to find her! She's out there looking for her guinea pigs! And there could be hell demons on the loose!
Stevie and Dottie Sue ran from the cabin and began searching the woods around them. Unlucky for all three, the storm clouds had moved back in. They combed the area for hours without finding Verlaine. However, later that day, Verlaine herself finally found what she was looking for.
There you are! Oh, my sweet little guinea piglets, I found you! Don't be scared, babies. Mama's here. What's that?
Little did Verlaine know, the strange noise coming from the woods was the sound of hell demons. The very hell demons that had up until recently possessed her own father. For a moment, she sat there in the rain, holding her guinea piglets. And suddenly, a flash of hellish red light appeared amongst the trees.
No! No! Get away from my guinea pigs!
Try as she might to deflect them, the demons paid her no attention. The horrible red light multiplied and began to race toward Verlaine. She saw the Hill Demon Horde coming, and in a last attempt to save her guinea pigs, she turned and fell down onto her knee, shielding them with her body. As she did this, the Hell Demons converged on Verlaine. They entered through her pores and traveled down her bloodstream. The evil things rushed into her brain and fused themselves with her very soul. The guinea piglets ran for cover of a mossy log nearby.
Verlaine? Is that you, Verlaine? Oh, Lord, she's passed out in the mud. She must have been looking for her guinea pigs.
Wake up, Verlaine. It's Stevie and Dottie Sue.
Or should we call you Wilhelmina? That's a pretty name, too. Honey, wake up, please.
Her eyes opened.
Thank God we found you. Oh, wow, your eyes are red, girl. You need some serious Visine with redness relief.
Dottie Sue, oh, why did it take me so long to see it? Oh, this isn't her.
Sure it is.
Verlaine doesn't live here anymore.
So you do want to go by Wilhelmina from now on. I think that's a fine choice.
No, she's being possessed.
We're too late.
Where are my guinea pigs? I must find my piglets.
We gotta get out of here. Run, Dottie Sue.
I will. I'm right behind you, Stevie. Oh, Stevie, watch out. Oh, God. Stevie slipped in the mud and fell onto a jagged wooden stake, impaling himself. Why didn't he see that coming?
I'm glad. It saves me the trouble of having to kill him.
Verlaine?
I'm not Verlaine.
Okay, Wilhelmina, you don't want to hurt me. There must be some part of you inside that remembers who you are.
Maybe you're right. Wait, no, I'm evil now.
Oh, no!
Dottie Sue started to run back toward the cabin, but after a few steps, she slipped in the mud, falling and hitting her head on a rock.
Oh, crap. Why does everyone I go to kill keep doing it for me?
Hey, Verlaine, that's your name, isn't it? Is that you? Did you find them hamsters?
Pigs. They were my guinea pigs.
Yeah, it's too bad about them getting out. You know what? You look really pretty out here in the rain like this. The only thing that'd make you prettier would be if you smiled. There you go, just like that. It's even making your eyes sparkle. Say, you wouldn't want to come here and hang out with me for a while, would you? We could heat up some Hot Pockets and watch tonight's all-new episode of Last Man Standing on Fox.
Not even if you were the last man standing.
All right, you uppity bitch. You know, I got the wrong order of the drive-thru about an hour ago. I ordered onion rings, but they gave me fries, and I'm not above taking my anger out on you. Who do you think you are? Just some woman standing out here in the rain is all.
And you're just an asshole about 2 seconds away from becoming a corpse.
Listen, girl, don't you talk to man like that.
Haven't you heard? The future is female, man.
Oh.
And now to find my guinea pigs and kill anyone that gets in my way.
And she did. The demon-possessed Verlaine killed 8 people that night in the North Busheltown woods, and after her 7th victim, she had a brand new name.
I hope you campers are ready to die, because I'm about to kill y'all!
Y'all? What are you, some kind of hillbilly?
Yeah! I'm Hillbilly Verlaine, and you're gonna die!
Hillbilly Verlaine? What kind of name is Verlaine? It sounds like a hooker that works out of a beauty shop.
Okay, I'm Hillbilly Wilhelmina, and you're gonna die!
Hillbilly Wilhelmina is even worse. It's just too long.
Whatever. Just shorten it. Call me Hillbilly Willie.
Hold up. Wasn't there already a Hillbilly Willie?
Yes. But he no longer exists. And neither do you! But I exist, and I'm Hillbilly Willie.
As the innocent camper's blood splattered the nearby flora and fauna, Verlaine's transformation into Hillbilly Willie, now spelled with an I-E, was complete. Was it her parentage that doomed her to roam the North Busheltown woods, possessed by murderous hell demons? Or was she simply in the wrong place at the wrong time? Who can say for sure? While the all-new Hillbilly Willie laid in wait for her next victim by the highway, Dottie Sue regained consciousness.
Oh, God! Verlaine! Wilhelmina! Phoebe! I've got to get help. We need an exorcist or the National Guard. I have to get back to the cabin and figure out how to save Verlaine. And I have to tell somebody about Cliff and Kendall, how they're just flesh mounds and not real people. I'm the only one that knows. It's up to me.
Dottie Sue made it back to Cabin 3. From there, she called 911 and told them she needed help exorcising a coworker. Unfortunately, the operator that took her call did not believe her. He later told the operator in the next cubicle.
You wouldn't believe this dame that calls up. She's all hysterical, right? She claims this other bitch is possessed by demons or some shit. I was like, calm down, babe, calm down. I'm assuming she was on the rag. I said I had just what she needed and I was gonna take care of everything for her. So I did. I called up my buddy over at the Busheltown Mental Health Facility. He's a real good old boy. He sends out two of his heavy lifters to grab her. She put up a fight, but they deal with crazy bitches like her all the time. Once they get her all constrained in their finest padded suite, she tells them the most far-out story you ever heard. About demons from different dimensions or something, I don't know, but she won't be seeing daylight for a long time, let's put it that way. The judge had her certified cuckoo in about 2 seconds, so that's it for her.
Listen to me. Won't anybody listen to me? Verlaine has to be stopped. She's possessed. I saw it in her eyes. And Cliff and Kendall, they aren't them. They have no souls. Listen to me, please. I was supposed to help pick the Leaf Queen.
In the following weeks, the Busheltown Examiner told and retold the horrifying tale of the unlucky three. They'd innocently set out for the North Busheltown Woods to cover a foliage festival, but fickle fate had different plans. Stevie wound up dead. Verlaine was officially considered missing, and the only one alive that knew the truth was trapped in a facility for the legally insane. What the papers didn't cover was the newest resident of the North Busheltown Woods. She would come to be known as the Mistress of Night and Guinea Pig Farming. They call her Hillbilly Willie.
Once there was a woman in the North Busheltown Woods. For years she lived a normal life and all was well and good.
And what she loved the most were guinea pigs, yes she did really. Loved them more than usual did the new Hillbilly Willie.
She loved her guinea pigs, she did, just like a mother. So she ran to find them when they escaped one after another.
What happened when she found them, I know it may sound real silly, but a horde of demons went and possessed the new Hillbilly Willie.
Now she's in the woods searching for guinea pigs left and right.
She kills the folks in her way from sunset through daylight. She murdered some guy yesterday, boy, it was a real dilly.
So watch out or she'll get to you, the new Hillbilly Willie.
In the past she was known as Verlaine or Wilhelmina.
But she's very different now, ask anyone who's seen her. And if it's a late October night and the air's a little chilly, listen for the crazy laughter of the new Hillbilly Willie.
Yes, watch out, or she might just get a little killy. That demon-possessed guinea pig lover, Hillbilly.